بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We've done the angels, we've done the books, messengers. Again, we believe in all the messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. As I mentioned, 25 of them mentioned in the Quran. We believe in all of them. We believe all of them are messengers. We believe they were not God. They were not sons of God. They were not pieces of God or nothing. They were human beings. They were beautiful human beings. We love them. We revere them. We obey them. But we do not worship them. Number two. The one who relates to us is the last of them, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we obey him and we follow him. Right? So this is the belief in the messengers, all the messengers. But the one we follow is the last one, which as Muslims we believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All right? Somebody might say, well, what about Buddha? What about Rama or somebody? Say, we don't know. Was he a messenger? We don't know. That's all. Because we don't know. You don't know. What about Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Yes, we know. What about Jesus? Yes, of course he was a messenger of Allah. What about Moses? Yes, he was a messenger. Because Allah told us that. There's no doubt about that. But what about somebody who has not been mentioned? We don't know. Who knows? Only Allah knows, because they are Allah's messengers. Allah knows who the messengers are. Having said that, as we said, Allah sent messengers all over the world to all people, and the Quran says that very clearly. Allah says they said there's no people to whom a messenger was not sent. So people were sent. So maybe they were, maybe they were not. And they all preached only one faith, they all preached only Tawheed, they all preached only the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No messenger preached anything other than that. No messenger preached that he or should be worshipped, right? Musa alayhi salam, Moses didn't say worship me. Jesus didn't say worship me. Say worship Allah. The Lord, your God, the Lord is one. This is in the Bible. Later on, people did what people have done throughout the ages, which is they started worshipping the messenger, they started making idols, they started worshipping the idols, and so on. All with good intentions. Please understand that just a good intention alone is not enough. Why do people worship somebody? Because they love them. Because they want to respect them. But when you take that love and respect to a level which is not suitable for that person, then that becomes a problem. You don't convert a human being into God, no matter how wonderful and beautiful that human being was. Then we come to the fifth, which is the belief in the day of judgment. We believe that there is a day on which every single living human being who ever lived on the planet will be resurrected and will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on that day, they will be questioned about what they did or chose not to do. And they will be then rewarded, or if Allah does not forgive them, punished, as the case may be. And this is called the day of judgment. Right? Nobody will escape. Throughout life, throughout the world, we will see, and we continue to see, as I speak today, we are seeing people who act as if they will not be accountable to anyone or anything. They do whatever they want because they have power. They misuse this power in multiple ways. It doesn't matter. That is why Muslims, we do not despair. We do not get discouraged. We don't lose hope. We don't say, oh my God, how terrible, see what so-and-so is doing. Don't worry, nobody escapes. Nobody escapes. Every single person will answer for what they did or chose not to do. And that is called the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide. And then we come to the sixth one, which is the belief in destiny. In Islam, it's very simple to understand. In Islam, we believe in destiny. We believe in what is called limited choice. To give you a very simple example, I can choose to drink this thing, right? What this thing will do inside my body, I have no control over that. For example, if I am highly diabetic, and somebody brings for me this absolutely fabulous triple chocolate sundae, right? Can I eat it or I can't eat it? You can, I can, yeah. My choice. But once I eat that whole thing, what it does to me is not in my control. Then either I die or I go to the hospital, I create a mass, I'm in an emergency, right? This is the understanding of choice. We have the choice. Allah showed us, and Allah did not leave us blind. He didn't say, okay, try it out and see. No. He told us, this is right, this is wrong. But Allah does not grab you and force you to do this or that. To kill somebody, right or wrong? Wrong. But if I want to kill somebody, will angel come and stop me or hold my hand? No. I can kill someone. But then there's a price to pay before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then I will be in the hellfire because I took a life without cause. The Quran says very clearly, to take one life, think about this. To take one single life. Allah said, we have revealed to the Bani Israel, to the children of Israel, applies to all people, the taking of one life without cause. What is the only cause which is permissible for to take life? Huh? War? Since when is war legal, boss? I'm saying permissible. Yeah?
When you kill somebody and then you...
Ah, correct. If you kill someone, then the court has the right to sentence you to death after due process in law, right? So the judge who's writing that judgment, sentencing you to death, is taking your life, but that is justified because of what you did, and this is after due process of law in a court. But if I am here and I have decided to kill somebody, no matter how justified it might be in my eyes, I say, here is this person, I know he's a big, drug dealer, this guy he's murdered so many people and so on, so let me save some money to the court and so on, I shoot him. No. So Islam says, it was revealed to the Bani Israel and applies to everybody that to take one life without due cause is like taking the life of all of humanity. It's like murdering every single man, woman and child. And to save the life of one person is like saving the life of all of humanity. Right? This is Islam. This is Islam. There's no taking of life without cause. So Allah showed us. So destiny, we believe. Yes, there is destiny. So you might say, well, what is destiny then? Another example. You go out from here, you take a left from the main road, you take a left, you go to Zakaria's College, Amherst College. You take a right, you go to, say, Hampshire Mosque. Right? Or you go to Springfield. So now, I go out there, I take a left, and I realize, oh, I was supposed to go to Springfield, now I'm headed in the opposite direction. What should I do? Turn around. What is that called in Islam? Tawbah. Istighfar, repentance. I made a wrong choice. I don't have to stick there to the bitter end. I made a wrong choice. I realized, immediately change. Make istighfar, make tawbah, repent. Do whatever compensation you have to do and come back onto the right track. As simple as that. Until when? Until the final toll gate, which is called maut. So imagine you are on this big divided highway. You're going in this direction. And the opposite side, you see there's motorcade, there's outrider, motorcycles, flags, whatnot. There's a big limousine. You look there, who's that? Oh, wow, that's Jesus. Fantastic. Isa alayhi salam. Where is he going? In the opposite direction. I go further. And then I see another motorcade, another, motorcycle outriders and whatnot, angels. And I say, who's that? Oh, that's Ibrahim alayhi salam. But guess what? In the opposite direction. So what must I do? Turn around. You better turn around, brother. You better turn around because everyone you know who knows is going in that direction, what are you doing in the opposite direction? Now, if you don't do that, you say, no, let them go, bye-bye. Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, bye-bye, bye-bye, goodbye, goodbye, nice to see you. Then you finally come to the toll gate. And then you're through the toll gate. Now what? One-way street. No coming back. Gone is gone. Right? That is the reason why Allah sent these messengers. That is the reason why He sent this book. He said, wake up before you are woken up. Change your life before you go through the final toll gate. Then you will sit in regret and then you will cry, and that crying is not going to help you. Right?
I have a question.
Yes.
The way I understood about this destiny and limited choice is that, you know, if you're faced with two options, then you know, your choice is to go option one or option two. But when you take that option one, then you follow the consequences of that option that you have no control
over. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So the choice is when you are faced with the option.
Correct. And you also still have the choice of turning around. Correct. All right. So, for example, if a thief says, you know what, there is destiny. So if I stole something, I was destined to do that. Not my fault. What's the answer to that? Is that correct? No, it's not correct. Why? Choice, exactly. You chose. I mean, you were told stealing is not okay, right? You chose to steal. You can't say, well, God didn't force you. If God had to force you, there was no need to send the book. The biggest counter to all of these arguments is, then why did Allah send the Quran? Why did Allah send the prophets? If everything was okay, what was Jesus preaching in the Masjid Al-Aqsa? Why did He say, don't convert this place into a, you know, marketplace, right? You're sitting here lending money and doing all kinds of stuff. This is the mosque, this is the place for worship. Stop doing. Well, why did He say all this? No, do your stuff. You're forced to do it. No. Choices. We have all been given choices. And that's the reason why we are held responsible for our choices. Otherwise, it would be very unjust, no? I mean, you first force someone to do something wrong, then you say, now you're going to burn in the hellfire. No. I mean, that's very unfair if that was the case. It's not unfair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-adil. Allah is the one who's just. And the final one is the belief in resurrection, which is related to the belief in the day of judgment, which is that when we die, life does not end with death. It just changes form. In Urdu, we have the word intiqal. Muntaqil hona. Intiqal is to go from one place to another. So after the session, we'll go and make intiqal into the somewhere else. Presumably the dining hall, right? So we're very shaky. Our unka intiqal ho gaya. Kahan gaye? Khane ke liye gaye. I mean, we don't use the word intiqal except for that, but it would be grammatically okay to use the word intiqal. It's not zero. But usually you don't use the word for that. You use it for death. So there's nothing wrong with that. But the point is, it's a very nice word because it shows you life hasn't ended. Existence hasn't come to a close. Existence has changed its form, just like we came from the Alam al-Arwah, from the world of the souls, into the wombs of our mothers, and then we came into this form. Think about this. For 9 months, give or take a couple of weeks here and there, I was in the womb of my mother, inside a bag, a sealed bag of amniotic fluid, breathing water. Right? Fluid. So now if you say to me, well, okay, Shaykh, you know, you spent 9 months breathing water, so let me bring a bucket of water here. We're going to dunk your head inside for 9 minutes. Doesn't work, right? Because each alam, each world has different rules. The laws of physics, for want of another word, are different for different worlds. The laws of physics in the womb of the mother is different. The laws of physics in the alam al-arba is different. The laws of physics in this world is different. The laws of physics in the cover in the grave will be different. The laws of physics on the day of judgment will be different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Khamsina alfa sana, he said, the day of judgment one day is equal to 50,000 years of your reckoning here. Because time has no value there, time has no meaning. But time is what? Time is the rotation of the sun and the moon. On the day of judgment, there is no sun and moon. Just to help us understand, is one day is equal to 50,000 years of your current reckoning. Life only changes. Life does not end. We don't end. And that's one of the reasons why Muslims, we don't despair. We don't lose hope. We don't say, oh, someone died. No. They are alive. Yes. Yeah, correct. So time also, in the sense of what we do with the time, is something that we invent, right? Time is night and day, and then the moon gives us the months, that's it. That is also the reason why this time which we have is the most important time, because this is the only time when we have choice. When I was in the womb of my mother, when you were in the womb of your mother, you had no choice. If your mother was drinking coffee, you didn't sleep. If she ate too much of Indian food, then you had trouble, because, you know, it's all that, yeah, chili. You couldn't say, Mom, stop eating this stuff. Why are you eating all this hot stuff? Eat some makluba instead or something. No. Right? You had no choice. You got whatever came to you. But in this world, in this life, Allah gave us choice. That the reason He gave us choice, that is the reason why He sent the messengers, why He sent the books and so on, so that we make the right choices. See the love of Allah. I mean, imagine, what is the biggest evidence that Allah loves us is the fact that He sent the messengers, is the fact that He sent these books, is the fact that He sent guidance for us. Why does He care? He doesn't care. What are we? I mean, you know, I am less than a cockroach as far as Allah is concerned. What is it to Him? But that's not true. You are valuable. You are something who is so valuable that Allah sends a messenger for you. He sends the book for you. He sent His word for you. He speaks for you. Now, despite that, you ignore His speech. You don't want to listen to it. Your choice. Go ahead. No problem. But every choice has a consequence. Not making a choice is a choice. So that is the single bottom line learning is that. Every choice has a consequence, and not choosing is a choice. So it is important for us, very critically important for us, as people with intelligence, to get this clear in our lives, to say that I didn't create myself. Allah created me, and He created me for a purpose, and that purpose is to obey Him and to be truthful to Him. And alhamdulillah, this is what I will try to do in my life, right? أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم